Dear brothers, sisters, peace to you. We thank you, God, and we see each other again. We are thankful that during our sabbatical leave, and the deacons and the co-workers and the brothers, sisters, and serve the Lord together with one heart and loving each other, and then to build up the church. And we are very thankful. So according to the church's ministry needs, so this time our sabbatical has two components. The first time was from February to April, and then June through August. So during the time, and we visited different places. So we went to China and then other countries. And the second period, we did not go overseas, so we just stayed in the US. And then we visited some churches and also missionaries. And then we visited some friends and families, and also preached in some other churches. And we also attended the retreat for the pastors held in Chicago for 4 days. So during this sabbatical leave, so we are built up, and we have seen a lot of different things, and especially on the retreat. So we met a lot of Chinese pastors that pastor churches, Chinese churches in the US. So we feel like enriched, and then we also feel like refreshed so that we can better serve brothers and sisters. One time we went to San Francisco, and then we were eating breakfast in the hotel. To our right are couples, American Christians, and on my left are another couple of Christians. So they the two couples I think they're in their 70s. So the couple on my right, so the husband's name is Bob. And then he's Eastern Orthodox Church Christian. So to my left is this couple. They say they are also Christian. They are with the Jehovah's Witnesses. So they both are Christians, but their faith is different than my faith. So we have some dialogues. So they all say their faith is the true faith, and then they believe it very firmly. So then I'm a Christian. So we have three sides. We all consider our Christians, but we are different. So this was the first time I dialogued with Eastern Orthodox a Christian. So even though the breakfast was kind of short, but I kind of like us lingered a little bit so we get more time to chat. So he was very humble and then told me about the history and then their faith. And then I realized actually we have a lot of common places in our faith. So for those who are not familiar with Christianity, so may not realize the differences. Therefore, and then the other couples on my left, and then they told me, they say our faith is the true traditional Christianity. But many people don't consider us as Christians, and then we are Christians, and we are the true Christians. And then what do you believe that the Trinity doctrine is not in the Bible, and etc. So these two couples, they are very sincere in their faith and then hold them very fast without moving. So then I have some questions. So how do we distinguish the true and false and the counterfeit of faith? So how can we distinguish them? And how can we hold fast our true faith? So, what kind of faith can gain the recognition and the praise of the Lord Jesus? So, if we are recognized and praised by the Lord Jesus, then we must be saved. But if we are not recognized and praised by the Lord, then can we be saved? If it's yes, then today my sermon is in vain. But after all, how can we really fight a good fight? So we need to be very clear. So today we will discuss take hold of true faith. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much and give you all the glory and the praise. Lord, today we can come to you before you to read your words and to hold fast our true faith. And then before you, that we can receive the salvation. All this is because you, before all ages, you predestined us to have. And also, in the history, you shed your blood, and then so when you ascended to the heavens, and then you send down the Holy Spirit, so that can work in our heart, so we can understand the mystery in your words, so that we know the value of life, and then the meaning of life, and then so that we. Before you, and then we will not run in vain. Instead, we will be able to fight the good fights and then save even more souls. And then, so on the day that we see you again, we will be praised and recognized by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, we will talk about two points: practice to distinguish truth from false, truth from falsehood. So Hebrew 5:15 says, but the solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So let's look around. And then, so is are all things in this world true? It's not like that. So actually it is full of all false things. So confess. Counterfeit money, counterfeit watches, and counterfeit diamond, and then a lot of misinformation, and then disinformation, and then false intelligence. So the more valuable something is, and the more difficult to get it, and then the more likely to have counterfeits. So prophets and disciples, Jews and Christians, and a lot of spiritual matters, and then all kind of there are endless of counterfeits of these things. So as Christians, so we have to apply biblical truths into our daily life so that we can train our spirituality and our discernment. So that we can be the one that can take the solid food. A born again Christian believer. So every day needs spiritual food in order to grow. Let me say it again. So if you say I'm already born again, and then I've already grown, I have grown. I'm 18 and older, so do you, and then I don't need to eat. Will this person live? No. So spiritual thing is like that. We have to take in spiritual food every day in order to grow. So spiritual judgment, so it is particularly so it can be said that a spiritual judgment is the evidence of Christian growth. So whether or not you are grown, so it's not upon others to judge, but you know it. So can I eat the solid food? And then you know it. Do I love God's word? You know it. So do we eat spiritual, eat Bible words as spiritual food? And then you know it too. So some people's Bibles are collecting dust. So they are starving. So in these chaotic times, it is particularly important to distinguish between true and false. So when I was talking with the Orthodox Christian in the hotel, so you can tell he is a very sincere person. So I could tell he is a very devoted Orthodox Christian. So I was surprised that he told me that some people from their church came from the Protestant church. So I was, and even one of the leaders, the pastors in their church, is also converted from Protestant Christian. So this is very unfortunate. So there are three categories of Chinese the Christian churches. So the first one is the so the Roman Church, and then the second one is the Eastern also Orthodoxy Church, and the third one is the Protestant Church. So when I heard that, I feel like a very, very unfortunate. So even the pastor, Protestant pastor, converted to also Eastern Orthodox. So how do we equip us so we can guide us from those false teachings? So as the saying goes, know yourself and know your enemy, and you will never be defeated. And then not only we have to train ourselves constantly, but also have to be on guard for the tricks of the devils. So if we are not, we only have partial understanding of our faith, and so we can be easily deceived. So if, like, I just, when you first hear about it, and so the Orthodox Christianity faith seems to be similar to ours, and then they seem to be even more pious and Orthodox. That's why they called Eastern Orthodox, so which means they are the Orthodox and the others are not the Orthodox. So they consider other people kind of deviated from the true Christianity. So they consider them are the only one true Christian church. So they try to trace history back to disciples and their traditions. So when I asked them, do you believe in triune God? They said, of course. And then, do you believe the Bible is God's word? Yes, I believe. But only that we have more books in our Bibles. So we have 66, but their Old Testament has 50 rather than 39. That is ours. And so they have 60, 77 books. So do you believe Disciples' Creed? And then they said yes, of course. They do not only believe, but they're even more familiar than we. So what's wrong with them? But then when you continue to ask more questions, and then they cannot answer. So one of the most important so one of the most important doctrine of Christianity is the justification by faith. So justification by faith. So in there is not this kind of teaching in the Eastern Orthodox teaching. They believe in theodicy. So they believe that we can try to become more and more Christ-like through a gradual process. So they don't know the sanctification is the result of salvation process. It is not the requirement for salvation. So sanctification is the result of salvation, but it's not the requirement for salvation. But so in their teaching, so there are a lot of other differences. So they consider church tradition has equal authority with the Bible. And also, they do not allow personal interpretation of the scriptures to deviate from tradition. And they believe Mary's eternal virginity, which is similar to Catholic. So Eastern Orthodoxy is actually came out from Catholic Church. It's very similar to Catholic Church. So they also pray have prayer words for the dead. So regardless if they have reason or not, so they pray for the dead. And then also they believe the dead can be also saved. There is a possibility for the dead to receive salvation. And then one more thing is that they believe that salvation can be lost. So therefore, we need to be very careful. So Orthodox Church consider their position in the church is very important. So 2 weeks ago, we went to Indianapolis, and then we attended the annual conference of America's Baptist churches. So I think at least there were like 10 to 20,000 pastors and ministers, and then very few Chinese pastors. So about 20 Chinese pastors, vast majority of them are Americans. And then so this Orthodox Christian says, I knew about that church. And then next week we will have our own conference being just like very similar to yours. I was real shocked. They had so many people. So in their churches, so I'm sure there are some believers that have established personal relationship with Christ, even in Catholic Church. But as a denomination, so their church, the Orthodox Church itself, does not have a clear message that is in harmony with the biblical gospel of Christ. So let me say it again. So the Orthodox Church itself does not have a clear message that is in harmony with the biblical gospel of Christ. So not even to mention the five solas. So the five, so the sola scripture, sola, grace alone and faith alone, Christ alone and God's glory alone. So five solas. So Bible only, grace only, faith only, Christ only, God's glory only. Let's recite this together. So Bible only, grace only, faith only, Christ only, God's glory only. So these are the Salah, Salah Fide. So today, there are many false faiths seem to be true. If we do not learn to discern, so we can easily go astray and enter the blind area of our faith. So remember, and then once we enter into that, it's very difficult to get out. So these are the devil's schemes. So the most commonly used schemes are by Satan, and then to deceive the believers is so they it is to mix the true truth and the falsehood. So it's very simple. We can separate the faith into two kinds. The first kind is comes out from our flesh. Another kind that comes from the life that being born again, so that is the work of the Holy Spirit in our heart. So the kind of faith that comes from flesh is false. And the faith that comes from the new life given by God is the true faith. So the faith comes from flesh. They believe in themselves. And then the faith comes from the born again life comes from the Lord. So the faith that are based on human flesh is the counterfeit a faith of Satan. And but the faith coming out from the born again life is the one is the one the work of the Holy Spirit. So we had talked about the three different main kinds of different sects of Christianity, the Catholic Church, the Orthodox Church, and then the Protestant Church. So the Catholic Church and also the Orthodox Church have one thing in common. So that is to, so they replace faith with knowledge. So it's so they so they recognize the historic Orthodox confession of faith. They also believe the contents of the creeds, and then they have thorough knowledge of the doctrine, but they are lacking of one thing, that is the input of faith. So their lack of the faith. So this kind of faith is counterfeit. They have replaced their wholehearted trust in the truth with a superficial understanding of knowledge. So if you ask them question about, if you ask a Catholic priest, if he is a pious, devoted priest, so he is very knowledgeable in Bible knowledge. So when I was attending a Bible seminary, so there are a lot of very smart people. So before you even like you did not even complete your sentence, your question, they already knew the answers. So a Catholic priest was interviewed by someone, and then He knows everything, economics and then theology and then the society, and then his knowledge is very broad. But they only have confessed knowledge and a concept of faith in mind. But they have no inner experience in heart. So they're very clear how Jesus died on the cross, but they do not follow him. So they replace knowledge with their submission. So if this is called faith, then we can say devil has faith too. So who knows better the biblical doctrine than devil? The devil knows Trinity, and he knows Jesus being God and a man, and then he knows what the sins are, and then he knows the effectiveness of Jesus' precious blood, and then he knows the justification by faith. But there's one thing, it's something that he cannot he cannot overcome. So that is, even though he knows all this, but he tremble because he does not have the chance to repent. God did not give devil the chance to repent. So therefore, so he gave up that, and then he would just rebel against God to the end. So we have to know these kind of things. So remember, knowledge doesn't equal to faith. So it is good to study the historical doctrines. It is good to learn. So you go to study theology, and then you recite creeds, and then this is all good. But the knowledge in the head does not equal to faith. So in other words, so to have a faith, you have to have understanding of the knowledge, but having the knowledge does not equal to faith. So that's why many professors in Bible seminaries, they do not believe. So if we have the knowledge of our doctrine and then can live it out in our daily life, that is the true faith. So let me say it again. So you have the theology doctrine knowledge, but also you live it out into your daily life. So that is the true faith. So the historical faith refers to the action of mistakenly replacing true faith with one's own rational and ideological cognition. So today we have to learn to discern. So in addition to the historical faith, but there is another one, wrong faith. So they devoted themselves into miracles. So it's very easy to tell them apart because they focus on what they can see. So if they don't it, so they say if they don't see the miracles, they will not believe. So today we have a lot of people, they like a so-called star chasing fans. So they are the fans of stars and movie stars and singers. So they know everything about the stars, and then they They mimic them. So those people who are chased after miracles, and then I call them dream chasers. And then so they often have so-called a new vision and a new dreams. And then he write it down and then send it to everybody. And he said, oh, last night I had a dream. So if there's no miracles, and then they are not encouraged. And then so so they don't have a desire to live a vivid life. So I call them dream chasers. So this kind of face is also counterfeit. So they only have the impulse of their emotion. So they only have the enthusiasm of emotion, but not the reality of truth. Excuse me. So during worship, so they stand up, they dance, and then they cry, and then they lay on the ground, and then so this is the enthusiasm of emotion, but not the reality of truth. So these are false. So they dismiss the true the knowledge of truth, and then instead they fanatically pursued miracles. So do we believe supernatural things? Of course. Yeah, we believe supernatural things. But the true faith and this believing is established based on the biblical truth. And then it's built on the basis of Bible truth. So true faith is not by sight, but by truth, because God's words surpass all phenomena, all things. And the Bible is a supernatural book, and then it surpasses all nature. So there's another kind of counterfeit faith. So it's this is very difficult to discern, but they are existing in churches. So that is what Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, about the seeds. So Jesus said, so someone went out and then sowed seeds, and then some seeds fell on rocky place without much soil. And then there's some fell on the road. But there also some fell on rocky place without much soil. So this kind of faith we call the transient seed. So the seeds fell on rocky place without much soil, so they germinated very quickly, but then withered very quickly. So the most the greatest characteristic for this kind of face is that they are blind, and then based on emotional impulse. What are the reasons for that? So there are a lot of reasons. So for example, they saw some miracles and then they believe, or they got fed, so they are satisfied, then they believe. And also some people they feel that the Christian atmosphere in the church brings them a temporary comfort to lonely hearts. So they got a certain kind of satisfaction, but this kind of believing. But they don't understand what they believe, and then they do not think through, and then so they're driven by impulse. So true faith requires, what does true faith requires? So even though we, We believe in Christ with, you know, with diff from different for different reasons, but the true faith requires that their believing is not in vain. So the transient faith is that they have believed in vain, so they cannot last. It's very unfortunate. So why is unfortunate? So because those who have believed in vain are not saved. So who said that? The Bible says. So where is it in the Bible? The First Corinthians chapter 15 verse 2. It says if you sorry, I did not write down this Bible verse. So those who have not believed in vain, they are not saved. But this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. So no matter it is historical faith, or is the faith that are kind of chasing after miracles, or the transient faith? So those are not true faith. So it's not that easy to believe in G Jesus. It's very stringent. So when we tell others about Jesus, we should not say, "Oh, it's very easy to tell Jesus." It's not to. We don't need to give up my drinking or smoking. So the Bible does not say to not drink, but it says do not drunk, do not be drunk. So the Bible says, so Paul said that you can drink a little bit of wine, said to Timothy, and because Timothy's stomach has had issues. But if you cannot drink, and so if you cannot, so if we're not allowed to drink, then why Jesus made water into wine? So Jesus made water into the best wine. So, but we know. So the Bible it encompasses everything. So one of the important thing the Bible says is to not give into your flesh. If you do that, it leads to death. So today we need to be very careful. So today we live in a world that is full of counterfeit faith. So we must be on guard and learn to discern. And so we have to grow in order to eat solid food. So the first point is practice to distinguish truth from falsehood. So the second point is grace alone knows the source. Let's read it again. So the verse in the book of Ephesians 2 verses 8 through 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So, how was we saved? He said, "Is you are saved by grace." So it's God's grace, and then also through faith. So what does it mean? So after all, it is by grace or by faith. So what is faith, and then where does it come from? So two questions. What is faith? So where does it come from? So do we have faith first, or and are we born again first? So three questions. What is faith? So where does faith come from? So which one is first? Faith and salvation. So we look at the Hebrew The Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, it says, no, sorry, it's a, it is for he, the Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. What does it mean? So faith is like a grasping an immaterial supernatural being. So faith is the evidence of something that you have not yet seen. So faith is not a blind optimism or self-confidence. So because the Bible says faith is the gift from God. So if it's a gift, then it's not something that we not existing. So not only we can see the gift, but the gift allows us to see effect in God. So the Bible tells us everything in God is in fact true. So we are here standing, we are here saying things, we are saying, praying, and then so God is a true existence. So he created everything that exists. Therefore, we can, so we can see this existence in God. So faith is a very important thing. So not only seeing it, but also being able to manifest it as a real experience. So when we know that all facts in God are real, but only faith can prove that fact. So let me give you some examples. So in order to show to, so the Bible gave us a lot of experience of examples of precious faith. So for example, to hold on to their faith, and then they disobey the king's command, and therefore were thrown into a fire furnace. So that was the three friends of Daniel. And so the king Nebuchadnezzar. The king Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high. So he ordered all peoples, all nations, and men of every language. So when they hear the music from all kind of instruments, so they have to bow down to this statue. So whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. But Daniel's three friends, so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and then they refused to worship the statue. So the king really liked them because they helped him to manage all kind of the state matters. But this, so the king wanted to give them an opportunity to recant, but these three friends by faith, so they said to the king, said Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. So this is, so that king was in wrath. So he ordered the furnace heated seven times hotter than usual. And so it was so hot that even the flame of the fire killed the soldiers who took them up. So, but these three people were safe in the fire pit. So therefore the key Nebuchadnezzar's face made a complete reversal, and then he ordered all people in his country to worship this god. And so therefore, what is faith? So faith is the refinement of the furnace. So why faith is so important? Because it is base, it's foundation for salvation and for other things. So the faith is the foundation for all kind of characters. So if without faith, there's no love, and because love comes from faith, so the true faith, someone with the true faith can live life to others, and then he rather die for that person. The example of Stephen. So when he was persecuted, so he was about to die, and he did not give up his faith, and then he looked up to the sky, and then he saw the heaven was open to him, and then he said, "Forgave their sins." So this is faith. So you may say, "Oh yeah, faith is so difficult. Can I pray to God?" They said, "Oh, let my faith. Let please don't test my faith." Can we? So I tell you, everybody's faith will have to face the refinement of furnace. So I gave you another example. So like the Israelites, they longed to go into the land of Canaan that flow milk and honey. But then when they went in, it was a furnace. It was a place of trial. So those who can overcome those trials, and then he passed the test. Otherwise, those will fall into worship and idols. So as my and my household, we will worship God, the Lord. So who said this? So therefore, we have to know before God, we have to have the true faith. But where does the true faith come from? So this is the key question. So let me give you the answer first. So true faith is absolutely comes from God's grace. So we call it sola gratia. So this is one of the topics that being disputed, argued in the church history. So after all, is man's faith comes from man, or it comes from God? So therefore, it resulted two different types of opinions. So one group is the Calvinism, and another kind is the Arminianism. So one group said the faith comes from man. So the man offers faith, and God offers grace. So even though I admit that I am under the help of God, but the faith still comes from myself. Those who hold this opinion, and then they believe the salvation is the co-work of God and man. So be careful, listen carefully. So I call this kind of thoughts being man-centered faith. So God wanted to save you, but if I do not believe, then God cannot do anything. Isn't that this man based? So God said, oh yeah, so you do not believe, then I have no way. So because those who believe will have eternal life. So if you choose not to believe, then I have nothing to do. And then the results, so then the results is as the devil said to God, oh, look at God. So yeah, this you see, yeah, you want to save man, but he doesn't want it to be saved. So this is like a simplistic way to explain this in my own language. But the, another kind of opinion is that, and then the other kind is that the grace is the faith is gift from God, and a man has died in their sins, so they it's impossible for them to save themselves. It is impossible for them to believe God with their own old flesh, because a sinful man, and so their faith is also sinful unless they get rid of sin. So that means it comes from God, God's grace. So we can see. So grace only. So from the beginning to the end, and it's God's grace, absolute grace. And then without any other inputs. So where does the grace come? It is so the Godfather in before all ages, God had planned this, and then in some time in history, the Son of God, the God Son came into the world to complete the salvation, and then God the Holy Spirit, and then to send this work in our heart so we understand what is salvation. So this is God-based faith. So this is what we believe. So you may say God-based faith, does it deny the responsibility of man? No, it's not. So we emphasize this is God-based because we want to give glory to God only. So the true one true God, Lord, and then so it, and so we are saved by grace through faith. So through faith means the God's salvation, the way God works out salvation is through faith, and then we understand the grace, and then through faith to reach that purpose of salvation. So faith is the result of grace, it's not the source of grace. So faith is the result of grace, and faith is also the tool to receive God's grace. So God save us by grace, and the way to save us is through Jesus' work on the cross, not by our deeds. So salvation by grace, and then through faith, and it's not from yourself, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So in other words, the true faith comes from God, and this is not said by a theologian, it is the teaching of the Bible. So the Bible consistently teaches that a man has to have faith. And faith is on man, and it works in man, and the man use the faith. But faith is the gift from God. So do we have a biblical support for this faith is from God? So there are many play examples. So I lost audio, so many audio, so I cannot hear pastors speaking. Sorry. So I'm going to read out from the script. The script. So the examples so pastor gave is from the Acts 3:16 and the 2 Peter 1:1 and Acts 13 chapter 13 verse 48 and the second Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13. So Acts 3:16 says, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him and that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. So Acts 13:48, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. And Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and the Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. And the 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, but we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. Okay. So, do we still remember example of us a child being possessed by a demon, and then his father? So this son was he. Was often thrown into fire and water. And then so this father came to Jesus. And then when Jesus spoke of him, his unbelief, and then what did he respond? He humbly came to God, came to Jesus and said, oh, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. Therefore, believing is the responsibility of man to God. But we cannot believe on our with our own power. We had to ask God to help. So now why today there's so many Christians cannot get rest? So even though they believe in Jesus, but they do not have rest. That's because they do not know the source of faith. So they are using their own faith to struggle. And then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and I will give you rest. So men cannot get rest. It's because men living in themselves. And then the meaning of rest is returning to Christ. So only when one abandons their self can one find a rest. So we have to give our life to the Lord and let him to be our master. Therefore, only doing so, our soul can be relieved from all the burden and we can enjoy the true rest. Therefore, true faith brings rest and a counterfeit faith brings struggles. And so those kind of faith that does not come from God is not going to bring you peace. So let's Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we gave you all the glories, and then you gave us faith, and then you gave our salvation. You help us understand what is God's grace and what is faith, and then you help us understand what the true faith is, and then we ask you to help us to give us the full faith from you, so that we can hold onto our faith, so we can advance in our journey of this faith, and then so we can follow you in all our lives. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.